What's going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Here it is, hump day on Mean Streets. Chris Mean and Alex Blickle of FTN. You guys are well aware of Mr. Blickle. In case you aren't on the Twitter machine, Alex Blickle 1. We're here to talk a little bit of golf with you guys. It's been a while since we've chatted some golf. Of course, it's been all of the other sports that are happening, but we have the Hero World Challenge happening in the Bahamas. So we want to chat with Blickle about the return of Mr. Tiger Woods and get his thoughts on the tournament here. Of course, no cut event, but kind of gets us going here into the golf season. Also going to get Alex's thoughts on a big game inside the NFC this week between the Eagles and the Niners. But we'll hold that thought for now. Alex, thank you, sir, for taking the time to jump in here and join me. As I mentioned, the Hero World Challenge, it's the return of the GOAT, Tiger Woods, 15-time major champion, former number one in the world, currently 1,328th in the world. But all the attention, of course, this week on Tiger. Welcome in, dude. How's things?
Things are good. Eagles are good. Tiger's back.
They're good.
It's a fun time.
It is a fun time. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so what's your thoughts here for Tiger? You know, he spoke a little bit. This week he talked about the ankle being pain-free, you know, mm-hmm. So he called the surgery a success. We haven't seen him since the Masters, right? It's been 8 months. He withdrew in the third round, a lot of pain. He's still talking about pain in other parts of his body, mm-hmm. but the ankle being good. So that's great. Of course, like, what do you think the expectations here, just to kind of get through the round, the walk, you know, the course and the 90 holes ish. And like, is that the expectations, just to try to play pain free here this week?
Yeah, I think that's what people would consider a victory for this week. Just, you know, he mentioned like his best case scenario is playing once a month this season, which yeah. I think we would all absolutely love. And so we'd like to see him get through this pain free so that seems even more likely. But I also think it's a little bit of a mistake to just assume that he's here to play pain-free and not to play really good golf. Because even last year, yeah, he had to withdraw from the Masters, didn't play any other majors, but he made the cut at Augusta. And his performance at the Genesis, at this point, like, I'm not sure how many people even remember that, but he played some damn good golf there. A Saturday 67 on a day where yeah. the course beat a lot of players. He was phenomenal there. His iron play looked spectacular. He drove the ball pretty well that week. So I don't know. I think if he really is healthier now, and he certainly, you would think, has been practicing more than he was leading up to the Genesis and leading up to Augusta last year when it was so painful for him to do anything, maybe he's ready to play some really good golf and kind of surprise us all.
Yeah, he did talk about, you mentioned it, I had it here too, the hope is to play 1 month. This is like, what, his sixth tournament since the car wreck too, so we haven't seen a whole lot of him over the past couple of years. I do remember his showing at the Genesis. He talked about how he just was as curious as all of us on yeah. how this is going to go for him this week, putting a pencil to the scorecard, all of those things. So it is exciting. You got some sort of prediction of where you think he ends up? It's so hard to predict, right? I mean, you yeah. just hope that he's able to play the entire week.
And the other thing is, with only 20 players in this field, like, we can't really measure how he does based on where he finishes, because number one, these are 20 good players in this right. field. So he could guys. Play pretty good golf. Like, he could play well enough to make the cut at the Genesis again, or to make the cut at Augusta and finish 16th if everybody plays well. We just can't possibly know based on exactly how he finishes in this field. But I think we'll be able to just see like the crispness of his swing and his iron play. Is he doing the thing that he does when he's on, which is always missing in the right spots? Like, I think big misses are maybe the biggest concern for his game. That's when we can't be as confident in him getting the finishes that we want. But man, when he's playing well, he's just so in control of his misses. That's, I think, more than anything else what I'm looking for, in addition to what kind of speed does he have off the tee.
Yeah, he's plus 250 for a top 10 finish. He's 9-1 for a top five. And even these odds have changed considerably. George put this together for us last night, 55-1 at DK, 75-1 at FanDuel at 80-1. Again, the prop shop, best possible number out there for you. Save a lot of time and save a lot of cash. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be looking for, you know, the game off the tee. I'll be taking a look at things like, you know, his short game is something that maybe he pain-free, I suppose, and around the greens, so maybe he can make up some strokes there. You're looking at this board. You mentioned a lot of good players. And again, things have changed. Anybody stand out to you here or any just golfer you're looking forward to seeing here as like a new fresh new start for the season potentially?
Anybody who watched Pro vs. Pro last year or just was watching Mean Streets for the appearances that I made knows I bet Keegan Bradley a ton last year.
Yeah, yeah.
It should be no surprise. He's the one here that stands out to me the most at 28-1. Not necessarily a bet for me. I don't think I will have any bets for this week. But if I was going to pull the trigger on somebody, it'd be Keegan at 28.
Plus money for a top 10 finish, plus 360 for a top five finish. And I'm seeing the best possible number right there, 31. Yeah, Keegan's your boy, man. I'm not surprised. Yeah. We should have got George to highlight that one for us. So anything else you're looking for this week? It's just kind of the start. I know, talk to me about Pro vs. Pro, like when you guys are going to be back and some of the things that you guys are going to be doing here for the golf season coming up.
Yeah, we will be back for the Tournament of Champions in January. And we're trying to put together a really fun kind of giveaway type thing for the return of the show where we'd like to get some kind of contest where potential listeners can win either a free short game lesson with Justin or a free long game lesson with myself. So that'd be really fun if we can figure out the right way to put that together.
Oh man, I gotta get in that. Are you kidding me? Yeah. I'd love to chop it up with you, man. I get a couple tips with you as well. George jumps in the show, of course. Luke Lisnott in the field. Bats. George, we need to get together with Blickle and like an FTN get together here. Strokes gained, whiskey. He's having some fun in the chat now. We can all have some have some fun golfing. Okay, so we have the article from Josh, too. It's like a betting preview over at FTMBets.com. You're going to be in the Discord talking some Prize Picks plays and things like that. You're going to do it as early as this week?
Yeah, I already asked Josh for some data on the average birdies per round in the last couple of years. He had that right on hand. So, yeah, we're going to be flying on Prize Picks and Underdog for this event.
All right, anything else golf-related? I know people are really here for the Eagles and Niners chat. Is there anything else you want to get off your chest, or we should just get right into the big game?
Let's go right to the Eagles.
All right, let's do it. 2.5, 3-point favorites, not Philly, San Fran. You see on the board here, too. Things have changed a little bit. I do believe I saw them open up as 1-point favorites. Sam Schroeder, you talked to me about him jumping on San Fran plus one. Last week, he was able to jump on that. So the Eagles as underdogs here. In fact, I saw something from ESPN. The first time ever a 10-1 team has been an underdog at this point in the Super Bowl era, having their starting quarterback in Jalen Hurts being there. So this is a rematch, of course, of last year in the NFC Conference Championship game. We didn't see a whole lot of Brock Purdy. Tough go from San Fran right away. I know both teams are back into chirping each other, and AJ taking to Twitter and said, Eagles Nation, go ahead and give it to Debo. And Debo saying, man, leave me alone. Enough of this. Debo called Bradbury trash. Yeah. I saw in, I forget what podcast that was, but it was LeSean McCoy freaking out. You called him trash. He backtracked it. He doubled down. He didn't regret any of that. So this should be a really good game on both sides. And I'll just ask you, what are the challenges? They're 10-1. The Eagles are finding ways to win, whether it's, of course, a lot on Jalen Hurts. But last week, whether it's Davis dominating line of scrimmage, Elliott with the kick, Bradbury with the pick, DeAndre Swift with the runs in the second half, Devontae Smith stepping up when AJ's been quiet. There's a lot of just players that are help contributing into finding ways to win. But what do you think is the biggest issue that the Eagles have right now? What do you think they'll have to work on against San Fran?
It's tough because the Eagles have been a really almost weird team in the sense that they are winning games in completely different ways from one week to the next. Like all season, if you look at one issue that the Eagles have had, it's pass defense. Well, their two best performances by DVOA this year have come against Patrick Mahomes, who torched them in the Super Bowl, and against Tua and the Dolphins, who at the time were posting historic numbers. And so it's like, you can't just say, oh, it's a really good pass offense. The Eagles' pass defense has been bad. That's where the Niners have this big advantage, because twice this season when you have said that exact thing, the Eagles' pass defense has shown up in a huge way. Credit to Desai in those two games. I really don't know what to think of this game. I think the fascinating part about it is we're going to learn a lot about both of these teams, and hopefully we learn some good things about the Eagles. But then there's also the point that, like, after the NFC Championship game, after the Super Bowl coming up, if either of these teams are in those games, if they win those games, are we going to care at all about the result of this regular season game? Probably not. So it's we're making this up to be this huge matchup, and it is, and it's going to be so much fun. But 2 months from now, we're not really going to care about it.
No, we're not. And we will learn, I think, a little bit about what Brock Purdy can do on the road at the Link. We didn't really get a good feel of that. And I think CMC is certainly going to be a lot to handle as well. But I guess the biggest thing with this game is, yeah, there's the revenge factor and all the trash talking that San Fran has just had since that game has happened. It's been nonstop. Over and over, and like Kittle calling them a paper defense, like, you know, good on paper and all that nonsense. So, but I suppose it is really big because you got the Cowboys right there on Philly's heels, and these two teams are going to play each other next week, which potentially could be for the division if San Fran wins this week and Dallas takes care of Seattle. That would be for the division. And then really home field advantage, I think, is significant, especially where a team like Philly can do it in multiple ways, right? They can run the ball, they can throw the ball, they can rely on stopping the run. And it's, you know, we've seen some sloppy weather games in Philly's games, whether it was on the road in Kansas City or at the Link, and then being able to, you know, establish the run in second halves of that game and win the football games. Okay, so let's just go. I want to get your thoughts maybe on the AFC. We talk NFC. How would you power rank the NFC, actually? Would you go? I know it's like Homer thing aside, but Philly, San Fran, 1 and 2, and then there's a tier with Dallas.
Philly, San Fran, definitely 1-2 for me. And I don't necessarily care if you want to go 1 San Fran, 2 Philly.
Yeah, whatever.
Just, I mean, I think they're 1-2, and then Dallas is 3. And I'd be really surprised if anybody else wins the NFC.
Okay, so you have the same sort of concerns about Detroit that I have at the moment. Their defense has not been good.
They've been shredded by some not very good teams lately yet.
Right. What do you make of the AFC? Is it still Mahomes and company that you give the benefit of the doubt to? Or are you buying into, man, Baltimore is doing some things defensively that we haven't seen in like 30 plus years, man. Like, I know they have some comparisons to the 2000 Ravens, but like 4 yards per attempt. Like, this defense is extremely, extremely stout. Do you view the AFC as wide open, or do you think that it's still KC?
I think it is wide open. And we, you know, a lot of that has to do with the fact that Mahomes and this Kansas City offense hasn't been what we're accustomed to seeing from them. Now, once you get to the playoffs, that can change in an instant. And this is the strongest defense that Mahomes has had probably ever. So that makes them extremely scary when you get to the postseason. But as you mentioned, like, we can't possibly ignore Baltimore out of the AFC. It does seem like the AFC is a little bit more open. They have more teams who, you know, if they make the playoffs, they just, anything can happen. You know, Buffalo obviously is a team that if they make the playoffs, they could make a deep run. They've had some incredible games this season. They've played really good teams well, including Philadelphia this past week. Jacksonville, who knows? I have no idea what to think of Jacksonville. Like, they've had some awful games.
Up and down.
And then they've had some fantastic games. So, yeah. And by the way, with Jacksonville, it doesn't seem like, you know, they're really good against bad opponents, and then they struggle with good opponents. They've had some really good games against good opponents. So I don't know. I think I agree with you. The AFC just seems like a little bit more unpredictable at this point.
And I like the Jags, but it's just been so up and down. It's been better lately. I want to see them. I mean, we're going to see them after this week against Cleveland and against Baltimore. And I think that will be pretty telling on where this offense is as a whole. And defensively, I mean, they can get after it with Walker and Allen. I mean, those are the only two guys that have over 30 pressures, like teammates, right? They can get after the quarterback. And I think that's an underrated aspect of the squad. And they hung around with KC last year, they had that comeback against the Chiefs, but what can they do against a stout defense like Baltimore? And I think we'll see that. I believe that's like week 15. Those teams will meet up.
Yeah, as you mentioned, if you can make plays in the pass rush, well-timed pass rushes can win any game.
Max Homa, Mr. Nice Guy. Tiger finishes top 10. All right. I'll be happy with Ty. I just want to see him play. I just want to see him go through him after, say, you know what? I felt pretty good. My body felt good. I was able to do some things that I wanted to do. That's what I'm looking for. But if Tiger wins, I mean, I'm obviously all for that as well. And I think that would be a big, big, big surprise given the field that we talked about as well. Okay. Let's get you out of here on a prediction. Got to give it. Niners, Eagles. What's the score? Who's the star of the game?
I'm going to say it's a little bit lower scoring than most think it'll be. I'm going to go 24-17 Philly.
24-17 Philly. All right. Good stuff. I'd be here for that one as well. Alex Blicka 1 on the Twitter machine. Check him out. You want to give actually a little bit of a just some love to the ownership projections and the DFS side of it. Dude, that deserves some love. And so you've been killing it on that side. And we just had the optimizer was free last week, and some people, you know, get a good feel of what we really have to offer and stuff. Like, you're crushing it on that side, man.
I appreciate it. I think the thing is, like, you can say, hey, we've got the best ownership projections in the industry all you want. And what does that exactly mean to people? And what we've been doing lately with the ownership review and article, it's free for anybody to read. It's up now on ftndaily.com. Every Monday it comes out. And we kind of go through the individual decisions that can really change based on the ownership that you have and that you're looking at. And so two really good examples this week were the Kansas City defense turned out to be the chalkiest. They were like in 32% of contests. We had them projected for 32% ownership. And the industry thought that they'd be the second most popular behind New England. So a lot of people went from New England to Kansas City thinking they were going to the more contrarian defense. They ended up with a really chalky defense that did absolutely nothing for them. And then Jaylen Warren, really similar story, projected around 10% around the industry. We had him at 25%. He ended up like 29% and failed as well. So I think that the nice thing is we're showing that, you know, it's not just that we're the most accurate, but we're the most accurate in a way that's actually really actionable and can make a major difference in your DFS play from a week to week basis.
Absolutely. And I figured as soon as you hear that report on Jaylen Warren, like in the morning, he's going to, you know, the uptick in touches and stuff. And I just feel like that sort of thing is a trap for me. I was like, all right, that's it. Not that I was like, go Najee, but, you know, the ownership spike. But yeah, spot on, man. And continue to keep up the good work. And I know a lot of people, unfortunately, their season long leagues may be done. But we can still have some fun playing some DFS football every single week, putting together some of the lineups and have some fun that way as well. Appreciate you, dude. Mm-hmm. Keep up the good work. Check out Alex Blicka 1 on Twitter and all the work as golf season is here. And he's still diving deep into the NFL and NBA as well. So we'll say goodbye to Blickle for now. We'll catch up soon. Enjoy Tiger and enjoy that Eagles W. Good, sir.
Sure will.
We're going to continue here on Mean Streets. We got a couple NHL picks for you guys. And I know we haven't talked a lot on Mean Streets about some hockey stuff, but why not? Let's get into it here. I got a couple picks for you guys. If you guys have any season-long fantasy football questions, any waiver wire stuff, you guys can leave the comment there, and I'll always circle back if it's not live here on the show. Jake Seeley and I got together this morning on his show, All in Football, and we dove into some of the rankings, and I know Zach Moss may have been owned in a lot of your leagues, but he had him as a top five back. I'm not as bullish on Zach Moss, but certainly view him as a top 12 running back this week, and you can just look at the usage that he had when Jonathan Taylor was sidelined. And even when Jonathan Taylor was active and playing, we did see a little bit of Zach Moss. And I know he's got a tough matchup, kind of a tough matchup. The Titans haven't been as great against the run this year as, you know, in the past, but we did see a fantastic game, over 100 yards, a couple scores and a couple catches from Zach Moss earlier in the season against Tennessee. Mr. Nice Guy, that show was super fun. Yeah, Jake, I mean, it's his birthday. Go give Jake a happy birthday. And I got All in Football on my rewatch after this. Yeah, you know, we dove into, you know, the Steelers. We talked, it's a tough week for wide receivers, right? You know, I think we talked a lot about Curtis Samuel in that show. And you look at some of the teams that are on bye, Baltimore, right? I mean, you got Zay Flowers, who had a great game last week. You got Buffalo and Diggs, and Gabe Davis was being played as a flex. DJ Moore has been fantastic. Another great game from DJ Moore with Justin Fields. It's so nice to see. But he's sidelined. Davante Adams is not playing. The Vikings, the Giants, just some teams here that are on bye. So Jordan Addison and company. So, yeah, I think Curtis Samuel is an interesting flyer. I know we talked a lot about A.T. Perry and Chris Olave is dealing with the second concussion. So is he going to play? It's tough for me to really feel confident at this time of the season to play a guy like A.T. Perry. But, you know, somebody has to catch some passes there. I think it'll be a whole lot of Alvin Kamara, you know, Taysom Hill getting sprinkled in if Juwan Johnson can play, things like that. But I would say Curtis Samuel. Rashee Rice moves up into, like, maybe you were hesitant to play him, but you can now you feel a little bit better with all these teams on bye and coming off a game where he had a ton of targets and they really just used him more than they ever did in that game last week against the Raiders, especially in the second half. So he's a guy that moves up the ranks this week. You got the three Packers. You may not feel good about Christian Watson, a tough matchup against KC, but Jordan Love's playing some pretty good football lately. So I still would rank them Jaden Reed, Watson and Dubs, but I think that Watson does have the higher ceiling, but we've been down this road before. Can we completely buy in on just one game there? DC, you mentioned Josh Downs. Really like Josh Downs as well. Not thinking Olave makes it with the concussion. I would lean that way as well with you. And one thing about Downs, although, you know, the catches weren't there, something that I believe we talked about on the show. I know we've talked about it a lot on the Sirius XM show. We'll be with you guys on Saturday morning. The targets, you know, you can say week 9 and week 10 dealing with that knee injury, not 100%. Week 11, the bye, 13 targets. I only caught 5 of them, but the volume is king. And if you just look at the Colts offense and being without Jonathan Taylor, Minshew's throwing the football to two guys. That's it. It's Michael Pittman and it is Josh Downs. And you look at the games before the knee injury, and according to reports, this is something that happened in OTAs and he's just going to have to deal with it. But you're really encouraged with the targets and the volume against this Titans secondary, the 8th most fantasy points allowed to wide receivers. You look at just from week 5 to week 8, it's a 4-week stretch, 6, 8, 6, and 9 had a 100-yard game there, had back-to-back games with a couple touchdowns. So absolutely, you're doing the Minshew down stack. I mean, you're not alone. You're not alone. I'm actually doing a little bit of that myself this week because of all those quarterbacks. So it's tough, man. Fields and Lamar and Allen and DeVito. Jokes. Okay, so I just had a couple hockey things, and then I was going to just move on. I wanted to really chop it up with Blickle just for a few minutes about the golf tournament here this week and get his thoughts on the Eagles and the 49ers, give some love to some of the things that he's doing over at FTN Daily with the ownership. Man, it's really tough to nail ownership, and he's just like spot on. And it's not only spot on where it's like, hey, you know, this guy was chalky and we nailed it and he was great. It's like, hey, this guy's chalky. Maybe you want to avoid it. And it's turned out to be a pretty good play. So as for tonight, I'm on the Kings. It's a two-unit play for me. The Los Angeles Kings at home against the Washington Capitals. I think this is one of the better teams in the NHL. The Kings are just, their 5-5 play is fantastic. They're so stingy. They don't give up a whole lot. I think they have one of the better 5-5 lines in the NHL with Quentin Byfield, Anze Kopitar, and Adrian Kempe. The Capitals are playing good. They're winning some hockey games. I watched them against the Sharks. I know San Jose has won some games lately, 5-1-1 in their last 7 games, but I wasn't overly impressed with Washington. I think they're super thin. After that top line with, you know, Tom Wilson and Kuznetsov up there with Ovechkin, it's just they don't really have a lot to offer of 5-5. So I don't think that they're going to put a lot of pucks towards the Kings goal. And I have this as a two unit. Actually, what I have in the bet tracker is Washington or LA in 60 to win in regulation at -140, a two unit play. I got a one unit play on this. And then I'm having some fun with some sprinkles. I got like 0.5 units on the Kings to win by 3 at +240. I got 0.25 units for the Kings to win by 4 at 5-1. So it's only 3 games tonight in the NHL. So I'm going to like kind of like ladder a little bit. We did Jack Hughes last night at +425 for 7 shots. He had 9. So my thinking here tonight, Kings win in regulation. It could be like a 4-1 game. It could be another 4-0 game that they had in their last home game against the Canadiens. So really like where LA's at as a squad. And I like Quentin Byfield here at the moment. As I mentioned, it's been one of the better 5-5 lines in the NHL. I'd say if I'm picking a goal scorer tonight, it would be Adrian Kempe, would be my favorite, and Byfield's in on this. He's got 16 points in 19 games this season, and he's hit the score sheet in every game but three since October 24th. It's over a month here. He's been pretty consistent. He was on a six-game point streak where we racked up, what's that, 9 points? Pretty solid. He's not a big volume shooter. Adrian Kempe is the shooter on that line, but he's touching a lot of categories, and most of them have been the assists. So I'm in on him. And then there's two shooters I like in the Columbus and Montreal game. These two teams are inside the top five in shot attempts and shots allowed of 5 and 5 per 60, according to Natural Stat Trick. And Columbus is at the top, basically, in all of these categories. And I know their game offensively has been a little bit better over the past couple of weeks. The Canadiens are a mess. They only have a couple regulation wins this season, and they're giving up a whole lot. They're back to, you know, they started off the season okay, but they're back to being a bottom five team, is where I expect them to be. So I like Marchenko here at over 2.5 shots at minus 135. And if I'm picking a goal scorer inside this game, he would be one of them. Marchenko was one of our sleepers heading into the season. Had a very slow start, I understand, you know, dropping him, but he's quietly got 7 goals on the season. He's got 59 shots. He loves to shoot the puck. He's been at least 2 shots in 7 straight games, and he's cleared 2.5 in 1, 2, 3, 4 of those games. So he's been right at this number. You mix in the matchup of the Canadiens, top 3 in penalties taken. So maybe a couple power plays on that first unit, playing with Goudreau and playing with Boone Jenner. And the ice time has been there for him lately as well. 3 straight games with 18 plus minutes. He played 20 minutes against the Flyers 2 weeks ago, 19 minutes against Arizona. So he's averaged at least 19 minutes here over the last 7 games. So he's getting an opportunity here, and he's playing with the big boys and a pass first guy. And he also has 3 goals in his last 4 games as well. So somebody to consider. I got him scoring tonight. And then there's Cole Caulfield. And Cole Caulfield's been hit or miss. I think I'd like to see Martin St. Louis put him back with Nick Suzuki. But, you know, in games where the matchups have been, you know, favorable, he's succeeded. So he played the Kings in the last game. He had 1 shot. Just talk about how stingy they are. Sharks, 6 shots. Anaheim, 5 shots. Like, those are two teams that are inside the top 5 in allowing shot attempts and high danger chances. Played Columbus earlier this season, scored a goal, had 3 points, had 8 shots on goal, had 12 attempts in that game. So the attempts are going to be there for him tonight, and it may come power play. You know, those shot attempts may come on the power play, but I think he'll get a couple at 5 and 5 as well. And then sticking inside that same game, I got Werenski here for a point. Just basically because I mentioned the Canadiens are so undisciplined, taking a lot of penalties. And Zach Werenski, you know, he's quietly got 14 assists on the season in 21 games. He had a 4 assist game, which kind of helps that. But if you look at the last 3 weeks, he's racked up 9 helpers. So it could come from a power play, maybe a power play assist or something like that. But I do believe he hits the score sheet tonight. That's all I had for banners. There's a couple other things that I have in here. Matheson over 2.5 shots, Boone Jenner over 2.5 shots, and a point. And I just finished writing the DFS article tonight. I like that LA top line. I think the second line with Trevor Moore, Kevin Fiala, and Philip Deneau are interesting tonight on a 3-game slate. So I would ride with LA. And then New York. I know there's no New York props here. It's tough for me to get behind any shot props. Over at Bet365, I would do a Kreider and a Mika Zibanejad same game parlay for these guys to pick up a point. Adam Fox is cheap in DFS. That Rangers power play has been very, very good. Detroit is without Dylan Larkin here tonight. I know that they just signed Kane. He's not ready to play yet. I don't think we're going to see him for, you know, I think maybe even a few more weeks. It could be after the new year. It's very possible that it is. But the Rangers in 60 tonight win the hockey game. Look at that power play. I'm leaning to the top line with Wheeler and Zibanejad and Chris Kreider. And then I would dive into the Columbus top line with Boone Jenner, Marchenko. And I think the Canadian second line actually is a little bit more appealing than their first. The second line with Cole Caulfield, Slafkovský, and Dvorak, and Mike Matheson is the most expensive player in DraftKings on the defensive side of things. But the usage is there, the shot attempts are there, and if he get a couple power plays, he may be able to rack up a couple points. So that's it. That's all I had. A little bit of golf, a little bit of hockey, and a little bit of football. I don't see any other questions here today. Mr. Nice Guy, torn between playing Sam Howell or Baker Mayfield, got Josh on bye. You know, Jake would say Sam Howell for sure, and I do lean that way as well. But this Dolphins defense has been much better over the past couple weeks, you know, since they had Jalen Ramsey's return to the lineup. This is a defense, and I know some of the opponents have been pretty mediocre, but the secondary is kind of coming together, right? Ramsey and Howard, it's kind of coming together there, but I lean Sam Howell. I'm going to go to a projections and just take a look, actually, just to share with you. I know you're a fan of the show. You give us a lot of support. Always Mr. Nice Guy and all these support on all these shows that we have at our FTN Network YouTube page. So let's share a little bit of a sneak peek. I'm not sure if you have the FTN Fantasy Package or not. It is a weird week. All these teams on bye. We got to deal with them again week 14. We have Howell as quarterback. What is that, 9? We got Hurts, Dak, Mahomes, Tua, Stroud, T-Law, Purdy, Herbert, and then Howell with 17.5 fantasy points. We have him for 246 rushing yards, 1.4 passing touchdowns. The biggest thing is the attempts, right? Like 36.8 passing attempts. That's the most that we have for anybody. And he's been among the leaders in pass attempts, all year long, really, since week 3, I believe. And then we have Baker Mayfield at quarterback 15. We have for 15 fantasy points. It's like a 2.5-point gap between the two guys and 30 pass attempts, just 200 yards passing for Baker Mayfield. So we are leaning here with Mr. Sam Howell, and that's the way I would go to. Like, Miami's going to score some points. They're going to have to throw the football quite a bit. And I think that's part of why I like Curtis Samuel as well. I'm not sure I'm buying into the 100 yards and double-digit targets, but I would say I'm more concerned about Terry this week, potentially seeing Ramsey in the secondary. Here's a look at the week. I'm going to get out of here because we're going to record our NFL betting show with Abby Labar and Sam Schroeder. We're going to talk about a couple picks that we like. For me, I'm going to talk about a couple teams here. I like Jacksonville at 8. I know that's a large spread. I like where they're at over the past couple weeks, and Trevor Lawrence and this offense seems to be rolling. You know, Zay Jones is finally there, and I think that's, we've seen a couple good games from Calvin Ridley and Kirk. Still not getting a lot from Evan Ingram, and Travis Etienne had a bit of a dud game, and certainly Dearness Johnson is trending up. I would say, and I think I referenced this just on Monday, but Elijah Mitchell, make sure Elijah Mitchell is owned. Dowdle is owned. Jeff Wilson is owned. These next kind of man up running backs, I think they, Tajay Spears needs to be rostered. Even Zeke in deeper leagues, if something happened to Ramondre, like 20 touches for Zeke it's super appealing, but it's a running back that's going to get 20 touches, right? It's a flex play. It's like Zach Moss getting an opportunity here with Jonathan Taylor. So have your bases covered. I would say, if you have Bijan Robinson, if Tyler Allgeier was on the waiver wire, I'd be picking him up and making sure, he is owned. I won't go as far as CEH, but if I was a Pacheco owner in a 14-team league, yeah, I'd want to have the next man up. I don't want to be fighting on the waiver wire for some of these running backs that could be, headed for a larger workload. And especially if I don't have any fab, I think this is the time of the year to have a couple quarterbacks. You play the matchups. Do you want to play Trevor Lawrence week 15 against Baltimore? No, probably not. Maybe you lean Jordan Love against Tampa. Like, that's just an example of one of my squads. I have Trevor Lawrence. I also have Jordan Love. I may play him against Baltimore, but I don't feel great about that. You know what I mean? So have some of these backup plans handy. I like Jacksonville here, large spread at 8 at home against Cincinnati, to not only win that football game, but to cover the spread. I like the Lions here at 3.5. I know this line has moved to 4. I think Detroit will take care of the Saints. This is a lot going on with New Orleans at the moment. A lot of injury issues. I know that there's some issues in the secondary in Detroit and the defense, but ultimately, I think that they'll be able to go into New Orleans and win the football game. I like the Steelers. I know it's a large spread, and last week they only scored 16 points, but it was the first time in 59 games they had 400 total yards of offense. They had 6 plays of 20 plus yards. There was some creativity on first down, which is something we didn't see all that much. And this is a matchup where you can actually run on Arizona. And we know what the Steelers, ultimately what they want to do is run the football. We'll still see a lot of Warren and Najee as a split backfield. And these guys racking up probably 30 attempts combined, 30 touches. And you hope that you continue to see some shots in the middle of the field with guys like Pickens and Deontay Johnson. Pat Freiermuth had a nice game. I don't think he can count on 100 yards, but certainly a top 12 tight end this week with all the teams on bye and Hawkinson not there. And you picked up Likely last week and Komet's not playing and Kincaid's not playing. So there's certainly a guy that you can roll out there this week. I was in on the Colts. I still like Indy, even though there's no Taylor and on the road. I think that will be a very tight game, but I like the play calling that I've seen from Steve Steichen. Man, he's a heck of a coach and he's a heck of a play caller. I would give the benefit of the doubt here to Indy. And this line has changed. It's basically a pick 'em. I haven't been as, excited or impressed with Will Levis and the play calling in Tennessee. So I would lean with the Colts. I think the Cowboys, unfortunately, I do believe, I say unfortunately, but taking the hat off, I think that the Cowboys just continue to roll on offense, and we'll see what happens next week and between the Eagles and the Cowboys. But Dak is playing at an elite level right now, and I do believe he deserves to be in the MVP conversation, but we'll see what he does against good teams, right? Philly, they got the toughest remaining schedule. They're going to play Buffalo. They're going to play Miami. They got a game against the Chargers. So it's not going to be as easy for Dak. And, credit to him, though. He is doing some really, really good things. Stay away games for me, the Chargers and the Pats. I like the Dolphins to cover there, even though it's a large spread on the road. I think Miami will do enough offensively. And like I said, the secondary is solid. Atlanta and the Jets, like, these are games I'm not totally confident in my spread picks, but I will be picking the Chargers at 5.5. I will be picking the Falcons at 3. If that gets to 3.5 or 4, I'll actually lean with the Jets. Atlanta's not good enough to beat a team by a touchdown or two. I know they did it last week. There were some injuries there. I lean with Atlanta. Like, run the rock. You don't need to throw the ball with Desmond Ridder. I think we'll see some Tyler Allgeier this week as well. Jake liked him as a dart throw flex play. I like the Rams here. I don't know who the heck is starting in Cleveland. Is it actually Joe Flacco? I'm not sure here on a Wednesday. We'll be with you guys tomorrow, and we'll be with you guys on Friday with some practice reports and things like that. But there's no Brown I really want to start. Jerome Ford, sure. Amari Cooper's tests were negative, but I'm not feeling good about the quarterback play. And I like where the Rams are at right now. They're starting to, trend up. I know that we didn't see a whole lot from Cooper Kupp. I got him as a wide receiver too. It's really hard to sit him. If you sat him last week, it was the right call. He wasn't a decoy. He was out there. He hurt his ankle again on the second or third play, the opening drive. He wrapped it up. They were up 2 or 3 scores in the fourth quarter. He was still out there running in motion and on the field. I have Nacua ranked ahead of him. It's the Kyren show. I think they'll lean on him like they did last week, and maybe even more run for Kyren. It was the first game after missing a few, and he's still got a lot of work and a lot of touches. We like Rashee Rice this week, like Kansas City. I think Green Bay could actually hang around in that game. I think that's a pretty large spread, but for Mahomes' first game at Lambeau, and Jordan Love playing some pretty good football of late, it's possible that there's some sort of backdoor cover there, but I would lean with Kansas City, winning that football game by a touchdown. I also like the Bucks. I think the Panthers are just a straight up mess. Like, Frank Reich is the scapegoat. Man, how about that press conference from the owner last night, yesterday? Like, what a joke, man. Like, I thought he threw Bryce Young under the bus. Like, oh, originally we thought we were going to have the second pick and that we were going to take Stroud because Houston was going to take Brett. What? Like, did you even think before you got up there and spoke? All these reports about how the organization went to Frank Reich and wanted him to have RPOs, and Frank Reich reportedly said, it just doesn't fit what I want to do. And Frank Reich is, like, I feel like the innovator, the creator of RPOs. Like, they won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia on RPOs from Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. It was just like RPO season that year in Philly. So I still think Frank Reich's a good coach. I don't know who the heck would want to go to Carolina. There's been like 6 different coaches since he's taken over as the owner. This is tough, for Bryce. The offensive line, I get it. The play calling has been pretty bad. They need to find a way to protect Bryce Young. I don't think I see a lot of people in the media saying it was clear and it was obvious Bryce was number one. Maybe I'm the outlier. I've always been team CJ Stroud. I'm not ready to say it, that it's all over for Young, got to get a new coach in there that's creative. They got to fix the offensive line, and they got to surround him with some weapons, some other young quarterbacks that have some nice weapons. Thielen's had a good season. Mingo's not creating any separation. DJ Chark has been, he just hasn't been able to stay on the field, and the running backs can't get anything going because they're getting hit behind the line of scrimmage quite often. So yeah, Tepper is a piece of work, man. That's for sure. P.S. I think Julio shows up for the San Fran game. He may show up, a bubble screen there, maybe an end zone target, a reds. He does have a touchdown. I think it was his first game as he got a red zone target there and he converted. Yeah. The Panthers are, I don't know who wants to take that job. I read the comment from Greg Olson on how he would leave the booth and go there. And it would, as much as I like Greg Olson, and listen, he's probably one of my favorite color guys in the game today. He's super sharp. I love the way that he explains things. He's kind of like Romo. He can kind of see a play coming, and his analysis is on point. But I don't know if a first-time head coach is the right answer in Carolina. Maybe is like, maybe you bring him in and he's, I don't want to say OC, but maybe he's just straight up a tight ends coach to start. And you know, it does seem like he has a lot to offer at the quarterback position. Maybe he can be a QB coach. I'm sure he could help out. Like he seems super sharp and his analysis seems to be on point, but I don't know what Carolina does here, but it's not a good look. I think Tepper was probably better off not saying anything, just shutting the hell up. Back to this for a second. I like the Homa call at +750. I like it. I also like Cameron Young. I also like Cameron Young at 20-1. I'm a sucker for Willie Z, but the putting stroke, I just can't get there. And then Keegan Bradley, right? I knew that Blickle was going to talk up Keegan Bradley, but Keegan Bradley was pretty good to us last year. And he was really a fan of the show because we talked a lot about Keegan Bradley when Blickle came on the show. And I know Per versus Pro, he gave a lot of love to as well. But have some fun with this. Of course, Tiger now 80-1. But we could see a top 10 finish from the old boy, and that is plus money. We're going to get out of here. Appreciate you guys taking the time to hang out. Jump on over to our you're on the YouTube page, but if you're listening on iTunes and Spotify, we're going to dive into week 13 a little bit more from a betting standpoint, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about some teams on the outside looking in, like the Broncos. I think the Broncos and the Packers are going to make a push here down the stretch of the season to make the playoffs, but we'll see. Good luck, guys. We'll be here tomorrow to see up the Thursday night football game between the Seahawks and the Dallas Cowboys. We'll have some picks against the spread. We'll have some start and sits for the week. And on Friday, we'll be here for some picks and props as well. Good luck on the ice tonight, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Cheers.